What's the best way to play Pokemon Go? And more! Coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hello and welcome to The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. If you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the live show. We'd love to hear your thoughts and make sure you click the follow button if you haven't already so that you can be notified when we go live. And if you're listening via podcast, welcome. Be sure to tap that subscribe button so that you can be notified when the latest episode comes out. But do keep in mind, if you're listening on the podcast, you're about a day behind, and you really should be joining us live over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. And finally, we are on Discord, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. Visit technewsgadget.net/Discord to get your free invite today. Although, I don't know why I tend to use Twitter more often. Octavius, what do you do? He's like, what do? I'm your producer, is what he's saying. You're a pet octopus. You just sit there and you look pretty. No, okay, I'll be honest. Octavius does do a couple of things. He usually hangs out on the live stream and fills in for things and answers questions for the most part. That's where Octavius hangs out. But as for conversating with me, usually Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me, but I digress. We got a show to do today. I can't go running off on all this goofy stuff going on. Octavius wanted me to let you guys know that we still have a monthly giveaway going on. We are giving away 13,500 V-Bucks plus an annual Insiders membership plus 2 codes good to give to your friends for them to have an annual Insiders membership. You might be sitting there wondering, what do you get with an Insider's membership? Well, you unlock the entire video archives of this show, along with an exclusive Discord server role, Facebook group, and more. If you want details on that, you can visit technewsgadget.net/insiders after the show. But if you want to enter the giveaway, new stuff is being added to it every single day, so make sure you are checking it out daily, doing your daily tasks on there so that you can get more entries. I believe we're up to something like 2,500 entries. There are a lot of entries going on. The more entries that you have in, the more chances you have of winning. You can refer friends to enter, which counts towards points for you for that giveaway. You'll be winning 13,500 V-Bucks, annual Insiders membership, and 2 codes. Good to give to your friends for them to join the fun as well. For information on that, head on over to technewsgadget.net/giveaway. No purchase necessary. Feel free to enter however you choose, but sure to tune in every day because we don't want you missing out on the goodies there. We are giving it away at the end of November 2018. So if you're obviously listening to this anytime past that date, I'm sorry you kind of missed out. But if you're listening now, and it's still the month of October, November in 2018, you got a chance at winning. So now with that out of the way, before we can get to the tech news of today, we always have to take a look back in tech history, being that today is October. Why do I keep saying October? I don't know. Maybe it's because Octavius spiked my Mountain Dew. Not sponsored, by the way. I need to make sure that's clear. It's just a drink that I like. It's a beverage I enjoy. I think you spiked my beverage, Octavius. We'll be talking about it later. Okay. I was making faces at him. If you didn't know already. So, today is November 8th, 2018. And on this day in tech history, in 1895, German physics professor Wilhelm Röntgen stumbles upon what he would later describe as X-rays while experimenting with electrical discharge tubes. Curious as to what was causing a faint green glow on a nearby fluorescent screen, Röntgen began systematically studying the unknown rays and published the first paper on the phenomenon less than 2 months later. He referred to them as, well, X-rays, indicating that they are an unknown form of radiation at the time. The name has stuck. Although in several languages, X-rays are referred to as Röntgen rays in tribute to his discovery. I'm probably murdering his name, but I don't speak enough German well enough to understand what the two dots are above the O. I'm so sorry I let everybody down in my lineage because I'm like half German, half Polish. work in progress. I understand a little bit more Polish than I do German. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm still learning. But incidentally, Rodin was awarded the very first Nobel Prize in Physics in 1901 for his work on X-rays. And for those of you watching a video, my wife just walked in. She's keeping an eye on the baby and everything that goes along with being mom and dad to a one-month-old baby who, okay, bragging time. She either A, wakes up once per night and goes right back to bed, or, as we're finding out recently, she'll actually sleep the entire night, giving mommy and daddy an entire night's of rest, right, Jane? Works out great, so all you adults and parents and... She's been doing it since she was born, so essentially, our baby's better than your baby. No, I'm kidding. you gotta have some fun some way. Otherwise, life gets boring. But yeah, so there you go. So, with that being taken care of, let's head on over to the tech news of today, shall we? First up, on the docket. Now, you're gonna laugh when I tell you the title of this article. And for those of you watching the video, you're probably laughing already. It's... Okay. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is spending $200 million on toilet technology. And this is kind of... I showed this to my wife, who promptly laughed and said, yeah, you should talk about this. It just came out today. Apparently, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates unveiled a futuristic toilet earlier this week that doesn't need water or sewers and uses chemicals to turn human waste into fertilizer. Here we go. I can tell the potty humor's coming. You know what? I'm just going to say put a pause on that, put it behind you, and just let it go. I got to finish this article. It is the brainchild of research projects funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the world's biggest private philanthropy organization. There are multiple designs of the toilet, but all work by separating liquid and solid waste. The current toilet simply sends the waste away into water, whereas these toilets don't have the sewer or those options. According to Gates, they take both the liquids and solids and do chemical work on it, including burning it in most cases. He compared the change from traditional toilets to waterless models as similar to development in computing around the time he founded Microsoft in the mid-1970s. In the way that a personal computer is sort of self-contained and not a gigantic thing, we can do this chemical processing at the household level, he said. Poor sanitation kills 500,000 children under the age of 5 annually and costs $200 billion a year in healthcare costs and lost income worldwide, according to the foundation. The Gates Foundation has committed roughly $200 million to the toilet projects. Hopefully that doesn't get flushed. I'm sorry, it's just, it comes with the article, so you're going to have to just deal with it. And expect to spend the same amount again before the toilets are viable for widespread distribution. That's about good with the article. So he said, according to Bill Gates, the next step for the project is to pitch the concept to manufacturers, saying he expects the market for the toilets to be over $6 billion by 2030. The billionaire also lauded the globalized and free trade system that made the toilet technology possible. So he's all really excited about getting behind this, or sitting on it for a while. We'll see how it turns out. What? You knew I was gonna come up with this story, Jane. I'm just saying. Okay, well, see, I'm glad that actually this is technology related. See, the current toilet system, you need a whole water and waste and sewer lines and all of that, and obviously it makes it hard in other areas of country to just let it go. So this is the solution that they've come up with, a self-contained toilet, as it were, that can be, things can be taken care of rather efficiently and quickly and easier. And toilet technology is moving into the future. Hopefully we don't get stuck in a constipation mode and we just let it go and it cleans itself up. Oh, gosh. Okay, I should be done with the jokes before I actually lose it. Speaking of noise, apparently Sony's coming out with a new noise-canceling headphones that are double as great traveling companions. But this article comes to us from TechCrunch. By the way, this article and all the other articles can be found over at the show notes for this show that you can get via TechNewsGadget.net, And ironically enough, if you're listening to this on your smartphone device, if you scroll or do something to read the show notes, I'm not sure. Depending on the app that you're using, you can most likely get a hold of the show notes right there on the app. Feel free to tap on the article that you want to read, and a whole article will pop up for you. Anyways, let's get into this article. Apparently, this author has been caught up in the Bose hype. They've worn their Qbose Sony WH-1000XM3, which is a pair of wireless wired cans that truly give everything else he's tried a bad name. Now, keep in mind that these are $350 headphones that come with a USB cable, audio cable, international audio adapter, and a compact case that holds the whole thing in a tight package. The headphones also support Bluetooth and will automatically swap to wired mode when you insert the headphone cable. The WH-1000XM3s support full noise cancellation that turns even a noisy situation into a blissful escape. Apparently now we have to watch that if there's any headphone thing going on and you're trying to have a conversation with somebody. Apparently they're not having selective hearing. They might just have noise canceling on. So keep an eye around that. An ambient audio feature lets you listen to external sounds at the touch of a button, and there's even a quick attention feature that turns the headphones down instantly when you need to speak to someone, or they're speaking to you, and you go, that was me making noise, you know, indicating that I can't hear you, and you go, what? Or in my case, in this article's case, you just press a button, and go ahead, talk, I'll hear you. Apparently, Sony is touting 30 hours of battery life on one charge, a claim that hasn't been refuted as yet, as apparently this author hasn't had to recharge them after multiple flights and they're still going strong. In short, things are great. Sony likes to brand all of its features, and these headphones are no exception. The cans contain an HD noise-canceling processor QN1 that runs two 5.7-inch drivers that can handle up to 40 kHz. Something called a sense engine notices what you're doing, walking, sitting, talking, and automatically changes the audio and noise reduction. It's kind of interesting. Finally, the headphones offer multiple styles, including stages, clubs, and outdoor stages. I doubt many will use or notice these features, but they're nice to have. How do they sound? That's the big question. First, understand that these are not audiophile headphones. You get nice separation, great soundstage, and high-quality audio out of these things, but mostly you'll be listening wirelessly to music on your phone, or listening to awful audio being blasted out of your seatback entertainment system. Put garbage in, as they say, and you get garbage out. That said, these headphones are superior to nearly every other model that has been tested recently, including the Bose QuietComfort 35 IIs. The Sony models were bright and crisp and sounded great with noise canceling on or off. The author also tested headphones in loud environments, including cafes and at home, with lots of ambient audio playing. The ambient audio immediately disappeared when I turned on noise canceling, he said, leaving only great sound. They charge via USB and easily pair with any Bluetooth device instantly. So, all good there, but one quibble that it does have with it is that it has no physical power switch, a feature that lets you ensure your headphones are completely off. Further, the power button is right next to and the same size as the noise cancellation button, which could be hard to tap if you're wearing headphones and trying to switch between it and going, noise canceling, it's off, it's out, what's going on? So, yeah, so keep an eye out about that. But other than that, pretty good piece of tech you can pick up for $350. All right, everybody's all been wondering about this, but it's true. And for those of you watching or looking at the video of this right now, yes, I'm not making this up. This Taiwanese grandpa shows that the best way to play Pokemon Go is with 11 phones. My wife, Jane's listening in the background. I'm going to have to show you this article later, babe, but this is hilarious. He's got this whole stand set up for all 11 phones. He's even carrying a pack with cords connected to each of the phones, each powering up to 20 hours of battery life per phone. Now, this guy has gone viral for playing Pokemon Go with 11 phones attached to his bicycle. It's a 70-year-old man in Taiwan by the name of Chen Sanyuan, and he's made headlines internationally for this strange setup. Since first getting caught on social media and going viral earlier in August, Chen has upgraded to a waist mount, as you can see in his picture here. so he can travel with his 11 phones on foot. His neighbor also commented on how Chen's unique approach to catching Pokemon has turned their street into a tourist attraction. Now apparently people stop by just to watch him play Pokemon Go. And here's a photo of him on his bike, as reported by Taiwan CH51. That's a news channel out there. Yeah, he's on his bike, his little moped thing. It's a bike. I'm looking at mopeds and cars and stuff. It's a bike. He's on a bicycle with his 11 phone setup. In an interview with a local outlet, news outlet, Chen explained in his native Hokkien dialect that after his retirement, he took on the hobby after learning about the game from his grandson. He spends approximately $1,290 a month to add phones to his collection and add lures to Pokestops, among other in-app upgrades. Of all the Pokemon, his favorite is Snorlax, the big, giant, cuddly, most famous for blocking the road while he naps. But one aspect of Pokemon Go that Chen really partakes in is gym battles, as he feels it wouldn't be fair to other players. Well, no duh, he can sit there and take, like, two gyms entirely, just his own. He's a gentle soul who would prefer to walk around catching and upgrading rare Pokemon. We're sure, however, that should he change his mind, the Elite Four would welcome him into their ranks. So there's your Pokemon Go news of today. Alright, Overwatch fans, we got some news for you. If you don't know already, apparently the new Overwatch hero, Ashe, is coming out. Apparently has a big problem, specifically when it comes to her hitbox. You see, it seems that this new Overwatch hero has an almost comically large hitbox for her head. As discovered on a Reddit post recently, the latest addition to Overwatch might need a hitbox adjustment, as hers is currently very noticeably oversized. It appears that not only does the hitbox for Ashe's head include her wide-brimmed hat, but it also seems to extend above her visible model, including her hat, entirely. Ashe has one of the smaller character models in the game, but as it stands, she might well be one of the easiest to land a headshot on right now, a problem for a hero with only 200 points of health. And, oh look, there's a little tiny little video that goes along with it. So, here we're looking at somebody zooming in on the hat. Look, they're shooting right on the side of it, and hitting the hat, and still getting a headshot hit. And on the other side of the hat, and still getting a headshot hit. And then look, they're above the hat. Headshot hit. They're not even hitting the hat. It's a little bit crazy. Now, obviously, this isn't the first time there have been issues with hitboxes in Overwatch. Many of the headshot boxes lean on the large side, as there have also been instances of certain poses or movement preventing hits from registering where they should. One really funny one was the push-up with Soldier 76, when he did the push-up thing and somebody was trying to hit him with a headshot, it just zipped right back his head, past his head, because he was doing a push-up. Pretty funny. Ashe was revealed as Overwatch's 29th hero earlier this month at BlizzCon, after the debut of the Reunion animated short, introduced her and Bob, who acts as her ultimate ability. She's currently being tested on the PTR, giving players a chance to get a hands-on experience with her and the developers more data to work with and an opportunity to fix issues before unleashing her on the live servers. Although Ashe doesn't have an official release date yet, previous years have seen the hero revealed at BlizzCon reach the live game less than 2 weeks after the event, which would put her on track for being released either Tuesday, November 13th or Thursday, November 15th. Obviously, I have a feeling that they'll probably have a fix in mind and introduce it, so that we don't have this big old hitbox, otherwise nobody's going to want to play her. You're going to say, oh, this champion's so... Actually, it would be funny, though, if they released it. Oh, this champion's so overpowered, but she's so easy to get a headshot on. Man, that would be hilarious. That would be the ultimate hilariousness. Introduce people to a new champion, and they say the champion's overpowered, but has this massive, comically large hitbox over her head. Goodness, I could just see hilarity and laughters ensue. Essentially, it's going to end, like, people running around saying, and they laughed. Okay, now I'm starting to get work interference here. I should probably cut to the next story. Octavius, can you cut to the next? In other news, in Just Cause 4, the best weapon, apparently, is Mother Nature. And you also get a pretty good grappling hook to go along with it. Just Cause 4 isn't out yet. is expected to be released in about a month, but obviously it's arriving at the end of a busy season of open world games. Fortunately, the series has always done things differently from the likes of Assassin's Creed, Red Dead Redemption, Far Cry, and the rest. It's a game that coaxes you into causing destructions and explosions, offering a shamelessly hard-boiled physics playground for you to cut loose inside. Be footloose if you want to, chop your foot off and, I don't know, shoot somebody with it and have all manner of fun on Just Cause 4. Just Cause, get it? See, the joke went off well, Octavius. I thought it went real well. So, during a lengthy playtime session last week with what appears to be very close to the final game, Just Cause 4 is begging to be live-streamed, clipped, and shared on Twitch, Reddit, Twitter, Discord, and everywhere else. They apparently also have a panoramic trailer that goes along with it. Apparently, a force of nature is how the team is describing both the new elemental force, which is tornadoes in four different kinds, and Rico Rodriguez and his super-powered grappling hook. The plot revolves around Rodriguez fighting against a military faction and discovering what happened to his absent father. Said father is also responsible for the weather manipulating tech that leads to four different tornado climates and biomes to go with them. Apparently, an author here got to toy around with the vanilla-flavored tornado in the grasslands, but the full game will also throw in thunder, sand, and snowstorms. Mother Nature is just one of two showcase stars in Just Cause 4. The extreme weather impacts the world that you're in. And by impact, it doesn't mean just tearing everything up in its path, which it does. If you scale a mountain or a building high enough, you can typically pinpoint the destruction column of air on the horizon. It's equal parts reassuring and terrifying. It's that far away, but it's always there. Always, aside from the grappling hook, which works like momentum-generating Spider-Man-esque web-swing, Rodriguez isn't lacking for transport options. You can still commandeer cars, boats, helicopters, and planes, which are thankfully easy to drive and even land. Apparently the author grabbed a lightweight plane and headed towards said natural disaster. I don't know why the image is showing a car in, like, little weather balloons. But apparently you could do that too, if you want. And people have really been testing out what you can do flying around a tornado. Flying in from a plane, getting your wingsuit ready, which is still fun to fly around in for those of you who are fans of this game. Even if vehicles are shredded, Rico is relatively impervious to the wind itself. Suspension of disbelief is mandatory in this game, and you really shouldn't care too much. That's never really been what Just Cause is about, and after too many tantrums over Witcher 3, Geralt dying from a 3-meter fall, well, it's a preferred in-game damage threshold. It's a video game, for crying out loud. It's not realistic. It looks like it, but it really shouldn't be. But it's fun. That's the main thing. Just because we were going to do this, you guys are going to have fun. Ooh, look at those photos. So juicy. That's not to say there's no grounding in reality here. It's more that game has been made to ensure that it's playable and repeatable. Rico can take a lot of damage and walk away from collisions and explosions that normal humans shouldn't be able to. But that also means that you're willing to put him in weirder scenarios and commit to often harebrained attack plans against enemy military bases. There is logic and a system to the tornadoes and even the thunderstorms. We looked into a real weather system and thought, well, how can we match the reality of this in-game, according to Meyer, one of the developers at Just Cause 4. Same time, how about gamers? Well, what are they going to do with it? Well, they're probably going to break the game, do all manner of goofy stuff, and I guarantee you Video Game Donkey is going to come out with his own review on it, and it's gonna be hilarious. So, yeah, there you go. Let's see, I'm just checking the article here to see if there's anything else. I'll just leave it at this. If you want to read the rest of this Just Cause 4 hands-on preview, it will be made available as a link on TechNewsGadget.net. And finally, can we give it up for Epic Games? Big round of applause to Fortnite. Record numbers. Fortnite hits concurrent player count of 8.3 million players. Fortnite launched in South Korea this week, complete with a new set of challenges. This week saw the introduction of Fortnite's Battle Royale mode in South Korea, where players are encouraged to play at PC Bang cafes to complete PC Bang challenges. Epic Games Korea gave an interview where a spokesperson, Sung-Chul Park, stated that Fortnite now has 8.3 million concurrent players worldwide. Yeah, you heard that right. 8.3 million people playing Fortnite simultaneously. Video Game 24/7 has verified the numbers with a spokesperson from Epic Games twice, just to be sure of it. This is a meteoric rise in numbers, considering that Fortnite previously hit a peak of 3.4 million concurrent players in February earlier this year, which caused major service disruptions. It'll be interesting to see how Battle Royale goes down in South Korea, given that South Korean players often dominate the esports scene. It's going to be really interesting. Are we starting to have to worry about getting beat by Koreans now? Because they're usually pretty good at every other game, especially when it comes to League of Legends. Goodness. Speaking of which, congratulations to Invictus Gaming for winning last week, World Championship, beating out Fnatic in an easy, ow, I'm hitting the microphone, in an easy 3-0 sweep. It's, oh, goodness. I can't believe they got beat that easily. And honestly, I thought that Fnatic was going to do a better game. For those of you who don't know, I was rooting for Fnatic. But yeah, it's just the way that it goes. They got beat easily. There was one point during those three games where I was like, Fnatic finally got it together. They know what they're doing. That was a really nice move, really smart move they did there. The rest was just like, what are you guys doing? but that's the way of the road. So, with that being said, that wraps up today's tech news articles. By the way, if you happen to miss something on today's show, or there's something that you want us to keep you informed on, be sure to let us know in either the live chat or on our Discord server, or you can reach us on Twitter at TechNewsGadget. Don't forget to enter this month's giveaway over at TechNewsGadget.net/giveaway. That will do it for this episode of The Latest in Tech News. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, for The Latest in Tech, Gadgets, and Gaming News. Be sure to head on over to TechNewsGadget.net. Pretty much, keep an awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.